So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to something that we've done in the past, and then at some point I'm going to move in a slightly different direction. You're going to have far too many sources because just given the late start, I'm not going to go through everything that we have, but we're going to hopefully, Nedr, get to the main point. So we're starting in I'm not going to say random. It's very specific. It didn't happen randomly. But we're starting in a place where it begins to tell us about the mission that the Eved of Avraham goes on. It says as follows. V'ikach ha'Eved, asara gmalim migmalei Adonav. He goes and he takes the camels. V'yelech v'chaltuv Adonav biyado. And all kinds of wonderful things. V'yakam v'yelech el Aram Naharayim el Ir Nahor. Now, early in the week, I spent lots of time, too much time, trying to figure out exactly where he was going to. And those who don't know, there is some intrigue regarding where Avraham was born and where he grew up and so on. The Ramban, trying to get through all of the source material, ends up creating a very complicated narrative. So if you like complexity, you'll find the Ramban later on. But he goes to Aram Naharayim, El Ir Nahor, to the city where Nahor lived. V'yavrech ha'gmalim, he parked his camels, Michutz le'ir, El Be'er Amayim, near the well. La'et Erev, La'et Seta Shoavot. So he does this in the evening during the time that it was the proper time for people to come looking for water. Now, and again, all of this sounds familiar. We've done this before. If it doesn't sound familiar, then all the better. So when does he arrive? He arrives as it's about to be evening, La'et Erev. It's about to become evening. La'et Seta Shavot. They're about to come out. Vayomar, you know, it's possible that the little squiggly thing on top of the mem in Vayomar, which is a shalshelet, which we read Vayomar, which really kinds of turns the words as if they were being stuttered, as it were. Vayomar Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham Hakreina Lefanai Hayom Vasei Chesed Im Adoni Avraham. So he says, you know, God, please, and maybe I should bold one more word here, and that is Hayom. Because he says, let this happen today. But what's the problem with it saying, let it happen today? The problem is that it's Le'et Erev, which means what he just now did is he does not give God a great deal of time to be able to perform this wonder. So I just want to now, again, I want to pause or stop and just to consider two different possibilities. One possibility is that this Eved, who in this whole chapter is never named, which itself is a little strange because it goes out of the way and gives far more descriptions to tell us who he was other than telling us who he was. Although I could tell you that he is Eliezer, and I'm not saying that because Chazal say that. I'm saying it for a different reason, which I will tell you very soon. The two ways of looking at it is essentially one, that he wants to succeed. Two, that he wants to fail. Now, why would somebody want to fail? So Chazal tell us a beautiful narrative, and they say that he had a daughter. So if he had a daughter, he says, listen, let's make a shidduch. You know, you have a son, I have a daughter. Now, any of you who have daughters who are not married, I think can understand this. And now you can throw everything else into it. Maybe you can look at Eliezer as a Balchuva, and he has his daughter. And now that he became Frum, so now, listen, this could be an appropriate shidduch. Why not? Why? By the way, that's the best argument. Why not? And, but Avraham, on the other hand, says, no, you know, you go, you know, travel a long way. So Eliezer's got all the power in his hands right now, and he says, listen, I went, I tried, and it didn't happen. Now, I don't know if you like that way. The other way is to say, and this is also found in Chazal. Again, I built it up a little bit. Chazal said he had a daughter, and that's what he wanted. And I'm building it up and focusing on this one turning point. The other thing is that Chazal say is, listen, this is a really long chapter. Why waste, I'm sorry for using that word, why waste 67 verses on this dating? And, you know, Avraham married Sarah. We didn't learn anything about that, right? We could easily have just said, we could have skipped this. We could have gone straight to next week's parsha and say that Yitzchak was 40 years old and he married Rivka, Bituel, end of story, that's the whole thing. And none of us would have said, hold it a second, what happened to the scene by the water? What happened to the well? What happened to the camels? Some of you will say, what happened to the jewelry? But none of that, if we didn't know it, we would not be missing it because we wouldn't know that we're missing it. So not only does it go and tell us detail about it, it's even worse because it tells us the details twice. It tells us when it happens, and then it tells us when he tells it over afterwards. And if you want a little bit more trouble, when it's told over the second time, it's not exact the same way that it was the first time. He conveniently changes some things, which itself makes the whole thing suspect. So what we have over here and now what do Chazal say about this? Chazal say the following. They say this man grew up in Avraham's tent, which means he has seen so much. His telling of a story, we can learn more from this than various verses of other parts of the Torah. Because this is going to teach us, and presumably what will teach us about is Emuna. I have a friend, if you want I can say the name, I don't have to say the name, very big Talmud Chacham, right? He's well known. I'll go so far as to say if Rabbi Lichtenstein was the greatest student of Rabbi Soloveitchik in the 50s and Rabbi Schechter was in the 60s, this fellow is a very good candidate to have been the student in the 1970s. His name is Rabbi Chaim Ilson. So once he traveled to Brooklyn, he stopped by my house. I'm pretty sure he stopped then. But where was he going? He had heard that there was a fellow in an old age home in Bensonhurst who, and now I'm remembering the story. I actually remember, I know who it is even. Who was a guy in the old age home who grew up in Brisk and knew Reb Chaim. And he said to me, I want to look in the eyes of somebody who saw Reb Chaim in his eyes. He met Reb Chaim. I want to see him. Abba, if I'm not mistaken, it was Rabbi Avrich's father. Now I'm thinking about it. I think that's who it was. I can try to find out. I can reconstruct. I can track down and try to figure this out. The son or the grandson of this fellow would be Robert or Bob Avrich, who is a famous religious... anyway. So let's get back over here. Eliezer or the Eved, however you prefer, one way of looking at it is why is there so much detail is because we can learn a lot. So one way I want to look at this is going to be really positive and what we can learn from someone who knew Avraham. And the other way I want to look at this is really cynical of a guy who doesn't want the test to be successful. Now, I'm not going to ask you which one you like better, because that will tell me far more about you than it will tell me about Avraham or Eliezer or Rivka or anyone else in the story. Yes, you all understand that and agree. I'll learn if you are people of great faith or if you are people who are very cynical. So I don't need to know this because the truth is I already know. But let me continue then. No, not you. You. Okay, anyway. Let me continue. So we get to this verse, he gets to this place, and he says, you know, with our Shal Sheled Vayomer, Hashem Elokei, right, and let it happen today. Vasei Chesedim Adoni Avraham. Hinei Nochin Yotzei Va'ein Amayim, Ubnot Anshei Ha'ir Yotzot L'Shov Mayim. Here I am, by the well, and girls are coming out. Vayah Na'ara, Asher Omari Leha, Hatina Kadech, V'shtei, Va'amur Shtei V'gam Gamlecha Ashkeh. The girl comes out and offers me water and offers water to the camels as well. You've then have proven the point to your servant Yitzchak, right? We found the shidduch. And now I'll know that you've performed chesed. Now, should I say this in the positive way? The positive way is, listen, this guy's gone to war with Avraham. Literally, he's gone to war with Avraham. He's seen unbelievable things take place. So he knows that when you're doing something for Avraham, again, I could channel the Blues Brothers and say you're on a mission from God, but over here, you are a mission from God, by the way. You're on a mission. I know, Jassy, anything about Chicago is good. I know. That he's of course it's going to work out. There's no question this is going to work out. It has to work out. And therefore, he essentially gives God a couple of seconds to do it. I'm going to get here before nightfall. You know, send her over, and we'll take care of it. We'll turn around and go back home. And mission accomplished. Which means one way of looking at this, and again, I'm all focusing on this time frame. Small amount of time. You know, do this, God. Girl, right? And then I'll know. The other way I'm looking at it is, if he wants to fail, I went there, I tried, I went looking for her, nobody, you know, passed the test, and therefore it's, it's time to go back home. It's not, you know, it's not, I tried. And then if he has to go back home, listen, I tried, and you don't want the local girls, so maybe we can go back to the beginning, you know, say, Avram, did I ever mention to you that I have a daughter? And then we can start having that conversation again. So as I said, you can go two different ways, and let us go back now to the pasuk. So he says, you know, here's the test. The girl comes out and says it. Pasuk tedvav, which is remarkable. V'yi hu terem kila ledaber. The words did not come out of his mouth yet. V'yi rivka yotzeit ashayolda l'petuel ben muka eishen achar achi Avraham v'kada al shechma. And like clockwork, without the words didn't come out yet. By the way, according to the understanding, is he thought this. He had this thought, and that's it, and she shows up. You can actually say, it's not a thought by Omar. He says it. Either way, the words come out, and she's right there. And she's the right one. We know that already. He may not know. V'nat tovat mar'em ma'od betulav ish lo yada v'teret anyan v'temelech kadal v'ta'al v'yoret ze'ev l'krota. Can I have some water? Now, by the way, this looks like he wants to do it. Again, he wants to succeed. And that's what I'm saying. Go back and forth. Please drink. And then she gives him water. And I'm going to go and draw more water as much as is needed until your camel's finished drinking. Now, so now, if we were to stop right here, I think all of us would admit that that's it. Game over. Success. If you want to go a little bit deeper, why was this the test? The word kept coming up. Chesed. Essentially, he needs a girl who's going to fit into the Avram family. You know, we had that wonderful snapshot of Avraham's tent back in the beginning of Parshat Vayera. Strangers come, you go running off, and you get, you know, according to Rashi at least, there was tongue with mustard. But you come in the wrong Parsha. Last week, you know, we would have had tongue for you. But, I mean, it's on the Parsha. No, what can you do? But he's making all of these things. You need a girl who's going to follow in the same approach, and therefore having the test being chesed becomes the right test for somebody who's going to come and move into the Avram family. So, again, all that makes sense. And if we were to stop right now, we would say, okay, she passed. And then we have a couple of things which are really difficult to understand. So it says as follows, and let's be really careful now. Pasuk of Aleph. Va'ish mishta'e la machrish ledat hatzliach Hashem darko imlo. And the man is in shock, and he's silent, and he's wondering, has God helped him be successful or not? Now, what do you mean, is he successful or not? He gave the test went, and she passed. By the way, I hope you like this. In last week's parsha, we had, and God tested Avraham, and in this week's parsha, we have, and Eliezer tests God. So did God pass at this point? Yeah, he passed. He found the right girl. Everything is good. By the way, now you see why it's so hard for some people to find a shidduch. You know, you just had Kriyat Yamsuf, and still, I don't know. I'm not sure if she's the right one, and so on and so forth. Oh, by the way, on the other hand, for all yeshiva bachurim who don't want to waste any time going on dates, this is a great startup. Find some Evid Avram to go on the date for you. You can stay in yeshiva. You send him off. You send him to travel. Let him go out. Let him give the test. Let him figure out if it's the right one. It's very romantic. Anyway. Okay, I guess it's not going to be a startup. So, But what do you mean he's wondering, you know, is this the right one? That was the test and she passed, which means we don't like people like this. We get upset with this. You give a test, you pass the test, it's over. You pass the test. So it says, on the one hand, he wants to know, is he successful? Now, I'm going to come back to this because I think I'm misleading you, and I apologize. I apologize, but a little. And as soon as they finish drinking, and now she's passed the test, old girls have been told that you can't wear a nose ring. Well, here's an uncomfortable pasuk. Not that nose rings are comfortable, but here's a, right, she gets a nezim zahav. And Bekam Ishkalo, states tzmidim, al yadea, anyone getting engaged can ask for two, I guess they're silver, gold. Tzmidim, bracelets. Asara zahav mishkalam, yes, gold bracelets, two of them. And then, after doing all this, he says, Vayomer bat miat, hagidin ali. Now, who are you? Now, that's really interesting. One thing that I want you to notice is that the sequence of the way the things are told over, that are told over here, is not the way that he's going to tell it over later. It's also a little strange. Why would he... Just give me one second. Why would he give her the jewelry and then ask who you are? Which means apparently it sounds like his hesitation is he wants to know, is this, you know, the right girl? Is she from the right family? If that's the case, then why give her the jewelry? Which means it's very hard to follow the storyline here. On the one hand, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. No, so slow down a second. On the one hand, he gives the test. You know, the Gemara is going to say this kind of reminds us of Yiftach, right? If the test is not a good test, then don't do it. Over here, he gives the test. And there's, well, I wonder if she passed. But before wondering if she passed, he gives her the jewelry. And then he starts asking, you know, what family you're from. By the way, if you don't know this, later on, when he tells over the story, he changes the sequence over here. Yes, do you remember this? You don't remember this? Pasuk Mem Zayin, right, Pasuk Mem Vav, he says, go back, Mem Hey. Ani terem achalel daber el libi. That's why over here it sounds like he didn't even say it. Over there it said Vayomar. He did say it. Over here, before he can even think it. So again, here you have another change. I asked for water. And then she says, I'll give you and to your camels as well. And I asked her, Omar, bat miat. Who are you? Do you like that? Switch the order around. And so over here, first he asks, who are you? And then, V'akod v'ashtachav el Hashem v'rechet Hashem elokei Adoni Avraham asher hinchani b'derech emet lakachet et bat achi Adoni livno. And he says, look, this was a test, passed the test, and there's no hesitation over here. When he tells over the story, there's no hesitation. You know, he knows 100%. So this is also interesting, that how he shifts it. And I just want to go back a second. He gives her the jewelry, and then he asks, bat miat, and she says, let's go back. Got the jewelry, pasukov gimel, kofdalid, vatomai love bat butuel anochi, ben mukash yodal nachar, vatomai love gam tevin, gam ispo, ravi manu, gamakom alun. Then, vayikoda am, haish vayishtachavul Hashem, vayoma baruch Hashem, alokei aduni Avram, asher lo azav chasdova mitomi im aduni, asher vaderech nachini Hashem, Beit Achi Adoni. Now, again, let's be honest. It really does sound very much that he wants to pass the test. He believes he passed the test. Yeah, there's an interesting thing, but we don't understand that hesitation. Now, Rashi is going to tell us about this hesitation. I don't know if I bothered with this, Rashi. I have so many other things for you. But let me open up the Chumash, the Perek Kaf Dalet, and where it says that he hesitates, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, and to see what exactly is the hesitation. Rashi writes, Mishteya, Mishtomem Umitbahel. He's in total in shock. Why? Al shira dvarim krovivim latzliach. Because look how close it is to coming through. By the way, that just now may have diminished a little bit the faith. Aval einu yodea imim mishpachat Avraham hi imlav. But he doesn't know yet if it's from the right family. By the way, if that's the case, then why did he give her the jewelry already? Meaning Rashi's a little difficult, but Rashi's difficult for a whole other reason. Does anybody know why Rashi's difficult? Rashi says, well, he doesn't know if it's the right family. So, I have a question. When he was given his instructions, was he ever told to go to Avraham's family? So, let's stop a second, and now let's go back. Esther, you've taught this part. You've taught this, so you've learned it well. I see that you know.
I heard it from you.
Ah, okay. I don't remember saying it, but good. So now let's go back now and let's take a look as to what the instructions actually were. Avraham zaken babi yamim, v'ashem birachat Avraham bakol, which again, ironically, some say because he had a son and some say because he didn't have a daughter, or he did have a daughter. He had a daughter, her name was Bakol, like Lauren Bakol. That was her name, Bakol. So it then continues, and it says, "V'yom Avraham elavdo zakan beito amosho b'chol osher lo." Do you see how easy it would have been to say Eliezer, his servant, old servant, the guy who runs his house? And so, which may, see, Chazal say, using our favorite theory of conservation of characters, that of course it's Eliezer because he's the one who's been described various ways. Again, when Avraham didn't have a son, it says, "Who's going to inherit me? All that I have is Eliezer," and he's the one who's described as the one who runs his household. So of course it's Eliezer. But see, I would say something else. When I said before that his name is Eliezer, and you may have looked at me a little funny when I said that, of course he's Eliezer, because he tests if God is with him, and God is with him. God does miracles for him. Eliezer, God helped, which means he gives this test, and God passed the test. Why does God? Because God is with him. So it's Eliezer. So I'm not saying he's Eliezer in the sense, because that's the name that his father gave him. And by the way, I'll remind you of the Midrash, which is cited by the Targum Yonatan, that his father was Nimrod. I don't think Nimrod named his son Eliezer. By the way, that also explains why he's so tough, why he's like hundreds of people, he's so strong, because he's Nimrod's son, maybe going to war with Nimrod, which of course is very funny, that Avram goes and, you know, Nimrod tries to kill him and he walks away turning his son into a believer. Talk about taking revenge on somebody. Right? Turned him into a follower of Avraham. So again, poetic justice, it's beautiful. So now you have this Eliezer. But I'm going to say it again. Forget about anything I know about him. This person described in this chapter is Eliezer, because God helped him. God took him right to the right place. He took him exactly to the right thing, put the right words in his mouth, the right test took place. Everything happens, but still, we're missing something, so let's try to take a look what it is that we're missing. So he says to this servant, this elder servant, the guy who runs his household, make this vow. He makes a vow. Now, I want you to focus on first part of the vow. Lo tikach isha livni mibnota knani. What's the first thing that he tells him? Not where to go, not who to marry. What's the first thing he says, like a good Jewish parent? Who not to marry, right? This is not who you marry. And who? Local. Now, why can't he marry somebody who's local? The commentaries talk about one of two things, and some even say both. It could be that he is, first of all, they're cursed. Ham is cursed, Canaan is cursed, and he doesn't want, Avram's people are blessed, don't marry somebody who's cursed. Of course, the really good question is, well, hold it, what happens to somebody like Eliezer, who may come from the Ham family, who then changes his belief? Is he now cursed or is he now blessed? Incidentally, there is a medrash which is found in the Pirkei de Eliezer that says that all of Avraham's followers, Nefesh Shesu B'Charan, including Eliezer's, their next generation revert back to whatever it is they believed in before. It was not sustained. It didn't go on for hundreds of years that all of those followers, Avraham, again, you can now say anything else you want to say, you can say any way that you want. If you want, I'll show you. I mean, the Pirkei Eliezer is in our sources. Anything else you can say, anything you want, that Avraham was charismatic, and whatever you want, you can say. I'm just telling you, bottom line is that it wasn't sustained, and therefore now I can ask the question, is Eliezer, he comes and he follows Avraham and he believes in Avraham's God and so on, but what does that tell you about his daughter? Doesn't tell you anything about his daughter. And going back a step, the people in Canaan are cursed because that's what it says all the way back by Parshat Noach. On the other hand, the children of Shem are blessed. So Avram makes sense. He's going to say, I don't want to marry somebody who's cursed. Go marry somebody who's blessed. Let's increase the odds. So of this all working out and being blessed. So that's one way. The other way, looking at it, is in terms of the other thing that occupy our minds. And what's that? Real estate and inheritance. That Avraham doesn't want to run the chance of marrying somebody local who then, along the line, that it could be that they will end up inheriting back this land or have rights to Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to keep it in the Shem family. As I said, there are commentaries who go in either, and some even go in both of those directions and give it something very practical. I know that in a lot of our minds, the whole thing is Yitzchak is a korban and he can't leave Eretz Yisrael. That it doesn't even give us a hint of that in the Chumash itself. But let's, the first thing, and I want to keep that in mind, first thing that Avram says is, don't marry somebody local. Okay. Second, so let's continue to what the instructions are. Don't marry somebody local. Rather, he says, and again, lo tikach isha levnimi benot kani asher enochi yoshev b'kiro. And by the way, after the negotiations that just now took place, you know, Ribonu shel Olam, he wants a place to bury his wife, and that turned into this major negotiations. So maybe it also added to this Avram being convinced that this is not, these are not the right people. Ki el artzi ve'el moladiti teilech. Now, what's missing? Ki el artzi. I hope you all realize something's missing, because that should all remind us of a verse that we know back in Source 10, Perek Yud Bet. So you have the land, your land, your birthplace, and your father's house. Now, what is it that Avram said? Ki el artzi umoladati teilech. What's missing? Beit avi. Which means, did Avram, I'm going to try to read this carefully. Did Avram ever tell him to go to my family? Remember what Rashi told us before? He's shocked. Maybe, you know, I want to see if I'll be successful. You know, one thing which is missing is that it's the right family. Did Avram ever say anything about the right family? And I'll say it again. It could be to marry somebody generically connected to Shem. And even that, Avram never said that. He said, go back there to where I'm from. Okay, so where you're from should be other people from Shem. But did Avram ever say, but it has to be somebody from my family? So let's hold there for a second. There are going to be commentaries who are going to be convinced that Avram just now said ki elotzi ve'el moladati, that it means his family. Now you realize it's difficult, because here it says artzi, I'm going to do it again. Here it says artzi moladati, and there it said artzi moladati umi beit avicha. So there is that third part, which is actually the family. So it's very hard to convince me that pshat over here is the family. Nonetheless, if you look at the Targum Yonatan, he writes levit gindi sati. Now, if you actually look at the Yonatan and the Chumash, there's a little commentary underneath telling you what does gindi sati mean. So it's what the Keter Yonatan, mishpachti. So they want to read into it as if Avram said my family, but that's not so easy. The Rashbam ki el artzi velolo tam she'inam krovai. No, not the ones that aren't my relatives. I want you to go to my relatives. That's great. Where did it say that? Elartzi Charan, Bel Maladati, or Kazdin. The Chuskuni writes, Inuit says Shetirash, Shum Nochrit et Nechasav. It goes back to the real estate issue, to the inheritance. I don't want anyone else. Chaim Paltiel, again, same kind of thing. Tema, Ma Rabbi Mishpachatov, Lo Yukulam of Deo Vadazarada, Hayo Yodea, Shemait, Hayit Mikarevit, Etzlo, Haita Lemida Yirat Shemayim. So why does he want his family? Where did it say his family? And then he gives his whole interpretation. So this is fascinating, because you just now saw a bunch of commentaries that all read it in. So now you realize Rashi reads it in as well, even though he doesn't tell it to you in the beginning, but later on when he says, oh, he's in shock. Is this going to come true? So we're a little bit confused. And I want to go back again and read a little bit more what Avram's instructions are. So far, what is the concern? Not a local girl, right? Secondly, I want you to go to this place, which now we don't know where they got, where the Eved believes he has to go to Avram's family. Posuk Dalet here on Sivam Adatit Teilech L'chak L'chalavni L'itzchak Vayomer Elav HaEved. And the Eved says, Ulay lo te'evah yishala lechet acharai ela aretz azot. Maybe she's not going to want to come. Hayshev ashivet bincha el aretz asher yatzata misham. Should I bring your son back there? And that he answers the negative. Yomer lav Avraham, hishmer lecha penta shivet b'nishama. Absolutely, do not bring my son there. Now, by the way, notice the word sham, which keeps coming up here. The end of pasuk hay, asher yatzata misham. Look at the next pasuk, b'nishama. We're going to have another one still soon. At least another. The next pasuk is going to end up sham, and the one after it will end up shama. So you realize now that sham, wherever it is. So, if any of you want, I'll already tell you a secret. The title of today's shir is "Where Is There?" That's the title, because you realize that Shama keeps coming up. So that's the question: Where is there? Now, let's go back a second. Avram's first, they each have concerns. We have an interesting give and take and dialogue. What was Avram's concern? Not to marry a local girl. That was concern number one. What was the Eved's concern? The Eved's concern is not that I won't find the right girl. Why not? Because he's got 10 camels worth of gold with him. He's got a traveling jewelry store. Okay? So men with jewelry stores look more attractive. I don't know what it is, but it seems to work. So he's going to go over there. He's going to find this girl. He's going to have all of this wealth. But even though that men with jewelry are attractive, but not necessarily when they contract someone else to go find the girl. By the way, that itself can convince you that the guy's not all that good looking or that bright or something else. What? Someone else has to come with a big gift to go and find the girl, and he's not even... Marriage is a possibility. Marriage is on the table. A couple conditions here. What's the first condition? I'd like to meet him, right? If any of you think that's crazy, it's even a Gemara, that you should meet somebody before you marry them. You know what Pasuk the Gemara quotes? V'yahavta l'recha kamocha. That's what it quotes. That you should love someone because, you know, otherwise it may be a recipe for disaster. So the Eved is saying she may not want to come. So I'm going to go there. I'll find the girl. I'll locate the girl. But to close the deal, you know, before we can have the vort, I mean, that's what he's saying, before we can have the l'chaim, I may have to bring him back over there in order to... And the Avraham says no. So now, if I were to read, and we just now read it, when it says that he gives the test, she gives water to him, water to the camels, and now he says, well, I won, you know, I'm shocked. I wonder if I've succeeded. Why did I work so hard before and to say, well, maybe he's being cynical, maybe he wants to fail, what's his concern? He doesn't even ask what her name is. Oh, that's not important. What is he concerned with? Maybe she's not going to come. Which means there's one still bottom line. She's got her Bechira Chafshit here. She could decide who she wants to marry. Which means, why would I think that her concern is anything other... Sorry. Why would I think that his concern is anything other than what he's already told us is his concern? I'll actually use one more word now. Pshat. That's pshat. Right? Pshat doesn't seem to be that it has to be from this family, by the way, until I get to the next pasuk. Pshat at this point doesn't seem to be that it has to be from the right family. Pshat seems to be is who knows if she's going to want to come. And therefore, at that point, he gives her the jewelry, right? But then he goes to this other point and says, oh, yeah, hold it, by the way, who are you? And yes, when he repeats it later on, he switches it around. Now, where did all of this come from? Did Avram ever say it? So it pretty much seems that Avram never said it. So that's why I want to go back and read this now one more time. So he then says, you know, tells him where to go. By the way, notice all of our shamas now. I want to do this again now. Pasuk Dalet, ki el artzi v'marati telech, which also is interesting because it kind of turns back the clock on the Lech Lecha, which I very deliberately read before. Lech Lecha is God tells Avram to go from this place, travel from this place, and come over here. And now if he's going to go back, does it reverse it? Which may be the real concern about Yitzchak going. Ki el artzi v'marati telech, v'chach nishavni li Yitzchak. Good. V'yom elav e'ev, v'ulay lo tava yishal lechet acharai el aretz hazot. Which means what's really more important here. You don't want to marry a local girl, and here you have a girl that he can marry, so maybe she'll agree to marry him, but could he go back there? What's really the issue here? And Asher Tzata Misham, which means he's really questioning the Lech Lecha issue. Can he go back? And Avram now is going to say, absolutely not, and there will again be loud echoes of Lech Lecha. Vayomer lo Avraham, pasuk vav. Hishamer lecha pen tashiv et bni shama. Do not bring my son back there. Now notice, again, pasuk hay ends misham, and now pasuk vav ends misham. Hashem Elokei Hashamayim, asher lakachani mi beit avi. By the way, now Beit Avi was mentioned. It was not mentioned in any other place here. Now, the God who has taken me out of my father's home, Ume Eretz Moladeti, and from the land that I was born, Vasher Diberli, and spoke to me, Vasher Nishbali, and swore to me, Lemor, saying, Lazarecha Etena Ta'aretz Hazot, Hu Yishlach Malacho, he is going to send his Malach, which is great. Now we have dueling messengers. Avram is sending his Shaliach, and God is sending his Shaliach. Hu yishalach malacho lefanecha v'lakach te'isha livni misham. What does the word misham mean now? So I would argue that the word misham means the same thing that it meant in the last pasuk and the pasuk before. Go back to the area that I'm from. Do you realize now that it's possible that the Eved understands it differently? Because he said, Hashem Elokei Hashamayim asher lakachani mi beit avi. And now it says, Lakach te'isha livni misham. Did Avram just now say, again, was this black and white? Did he just now say, did he just now hint, did he give the impression, or alternatively, did the Eved just now understand that the place he's supposed to go to is actually the home of Avraham? Because Avram just now used the word Shama and used the word Beit Avi in one sentence. So what I'm pointing out over here is there's a couple of possibilities. One possibility is that's absolutely what Avram said, and even though we never heard him say, you need to go back to my hometown, he just now said it. God took me out of my hometown and therefore go and get a wife for my son from there. So from there now becomes the Beit Avi. On the other hand, it could be that Avraham never said this, but it's nonetheless what Eliezer or the Eved understands. So if that's what he understands, that's very interesting. But as we continue in the Eved's narrative, going back and down the chapter and looking at the back and forth, you're going to come to this realization that he's completely convinced. And that's part of the evidence. Look, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I was sent. And I found the girl from the place that I'm sent. And therefore, the test has been passed. And God has done this. And all of this is God micromanaging, which means he's going to utilize this as evidence that he is Eliezer, that God has helped him and God has sent him on this mission. So I'm saying it's really interesting, and I don't think we can resolve this. You can resolve this if you know the answer. I see my father's looking something up. If you can resolve this, then excellent. But it sounds, and by the way, there are those who will notice this and see this and make comments about this, but it seems very much to be that this is what the Eved understands is his mission. Whether Avram said this, I'm not sure. I just want to go back now, two steps to see where we got stuck, and I think we can resolve it all. And I'm repeating myself at this point. One is that he wants to know, did he succeed? Not because he wants to fail, not because something's gone wrong. There's still another question. Will she agree to come? And that was his concern from the beginning. That would seem to be his concern now as well. Second point is that he has to, that this seems to be the right person, but now he's gone to the lands generally, so now he wants to know and to fulfill what he may have understood Avram as adding on as well, that you need to be somebody from Shama. God took me out of my father's house. Now you need to bring somebody from there. So now he goes to, now he has to now question that part as well. Is she in fact from Avram's house? So now whether Avram said that or not, I can't tell you. As I said, I can read it two ways. Again, Rashi read that into it. Why does Rashi read this into it? Because Rashi is saying that's what the Eved is doing. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's asking. On the other hand, it really is interesting when he switches the sequence. It sounds to be the first time through, he gives her the ring, he gives her the jewelry, and he's convinced that it's right. Maybe he understood this as being something preferable. And once it was fulfilled, meaning, once she was something more than from the Shem family, and she's from the Avram family, so now he sees the hand of God and even stronger, and now it becomes part of his evidence. So it could be someplace in the middle. Maybe Avram said it, maybe he didn't. Let's say Avram didn't say it, the Eved may have heard it. Maybe he heard it, maybe he wondered about it. Maybe he's working this conversation in his head and saying, hold it, what did that word Shama mean when Avram said this? Did Avram mean the house, or did Avram mean the family? Did Avram mean just the neighbor, or did Avram mean the country? What did he mean by this? And then he gives the ring because he thought he was successful, and now he goes back to that dangling Shama and says, hold it a second, what family are you from? And she says the right family. Okay, that's it. That's this is absolutely right. Now I know it's the right thing. So as I said, it's really interesting to go back and to compare the instructions that were given and what the Eved actually did, what he understood and how he behaved, and how he retells the story afterwards. But he's convinced that he got the right girl. And by the way, I'll tell you a secret. He got the right girl. Rivka was the shidduch. This was the right girl, and it was the right husband, and all that works out okay. And you know, when he meets her, it actually says something that it never said before in the Torah. It says that he meets her and he loves her. So that's the first time that we find a husband loving his wife. It says that he loved her. So apparently it was absolutely the right thing. By the way, sometimes people love and they forget to show it. So we should show the people we love that we love them to make sure that they know it as well. So again, I'm sorry I was a little late and I didn't start with a bracha for the chayalim. So may God show the love that he has for Klal Yisrael. Not just that we know that God loves us, God should show that love as well and take care of all the people living in Eretz Yisrael and take care of all the chayalim, and all of them should be healthy and come back to their families completely healthy in every single way.
Amen.
So Abba, what do you find? What do you have there?
Now I understand where it was. It wasn't where he said it. It was in a different context. And the question was, what was he referring to? Well, so I saw what you said. It's absolutely correct.
Oh, there you go. I agree. Yeah, it's a dangling Shama. Now you realize why it's the whole confusion. But I think it's fascinating that he may have woken up to that when he's there. Hold it a second. What did he mean when he said that? And you're on a mission. You want to do it right. You don't want to bring the wrong girl home to Yitzchak. I mean, that could be quite problematic.
Especially the jewelry.
Okay, so as somebody married to a Rivka, this should resonate.
Okay,
very good. Have a good Shabbos. B'sarot tovot.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Thanks, Rav.